My text this morning will be found in the 37th Psalm, if you would turn there with me, please. Psalm 37. While you're turning, let me say that in this psalm, David is teaching us something of God's salvation. All through this 37th chapter, David is contrasting the wicked with the righteous. In verse 37 of Psalm 37, David says, "Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace." Now that word mark there means to observe or to take notice of. And the Hebrew word perfect in this verse means complete, which no human is by nature. David is telling us here what God does for chosen sinners. Mark, observe, be assured, have confidence in the fact that those whom God makes perfect, those whom God makes complete and God makes undefiled, in the end, they'll have peace. That peace that passes all understanding. However, notice that David says of the wicked in verse 38, "But the transgressors shall be destroyed together, and the end of the wicked shall be cut off." You see, the man that God makes perfect, the woman that God makes perfect and complete, in the end has peace. But the wicked, no, they're cut off. They'll perish. And then David again shifts his attention to the saved man or woman. And in the next verse, he explains to us why the righteous have peace. Verse 39, and here's my main text this morning. "But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in Him." And what a beautiful explanation of what salvation is. The reason the saved sinner is perfect and complete and upright and undefiled and righteous is of the Lord. It's God's doing. God is their strength in the time of trouble. By the way, if you don't know this, that's pretty much all the time. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. What is salvation? Well, we see here that it's help and it's deliverance. Deliverance from the wicked. Deliverance from being wicked. God's elect are delivered from many, many things. What are believers delivered from? Well, let me just give you a few. They're delivered from this body of death, according to Romans 7:24. They're delivered from the law of God. Oh, I'm thankful for that because I can't keep God's law. God's law condemns me. They're delivered from corruption, Romans 8:21. They're delivered from so great a death, 2 Corinthians 1:10. Well, they're delivered from the wrath of God to come. 1 Thessalonians 1:10. They're delivered from this present evil world, Galatians 1:4. They're delivered from every evil work, 2 Timothy 4:18. And David here says that the believer's salvation is of the Lord, and He, God, is their strength in time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them. Do you need help? Oh, it's the Lord that can help you. He shall deliver them. Do you need deliverance? It's the Lord that delivers. And save them. It's the Lord that saves sinners. And preachers today preach salvation as an isolated experience. You know what I'm saying. Many sinners who claim to be saved act as if salvation is something that's quickly accomplished and then over with. They say things like, "Well, I was saved on such and such a day and was baptized and joined the church, and that's pretty much it. I'm saved." But true salvation is the life of the child of God from his or her first consciousness of sin. When God the Holy Spirit convicts a man or a woman of their great need of their great sin until their entrance into glory. Salvation is the whole experience of the believer's relationship with Christ. Paul said, "For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe." Romans 13:11. Salvation begins with God, the Holy Spirit, revealing to us through preaching something of our sin and something of our guilt before a holy and just God. And from that day forth until we depart from this life and leave this body of flesh, the true child of God strives to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And the Lord said, "He or she that endureth till the end shall be saved." It's certainly not a one-time experience and event. Paul said that the child of God must work out their salvation with fear and trembling. It doesn't mean that we're to work in order to obtain salvation, because Paul goes on to explain with his very next breath that salvation is God working in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, the King James Bible reads, let me show you that. Would you go ahead and turn there with me? Mark your place in Psalm 37. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. The King James Bible here reads, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved, it is the power of God." Now, I found it very interesting that most every other translation of the Bible that I had, and I've got several, reads differently. Even the New King James translation reads this way: "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God." And if God's elect are saved by the preaching of the gospel, by the preaching of the cross, and they are, then the glorious message of the cross, the message of substitution, is the power of God unto those who are being saved, not already saved. We're growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. We are enduring until the end. In other words, we're being saved. We're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. 1 Peter 1:5. Paul told Timothy, he said, "From a child you've known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Now I believe and I trust in Christ today, and I must believe and trust in Christ tomorrow. And I must believe and trust in Christ all my days. In order to be saved, I must believe until the end. And if I don't, then I never really believed at all. Hebrews 3:6 tells us that Christ has a son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm until the end. Hebrews 4:14 says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." Beloved, if God has saved us by His grace, then we will hold fast unto the end, because having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. My only hope of salvation is being kept by the power of God, and it's that Christ, having loved His people in the world, you and me, that He loved us until the end. Those whom Christ loved into the end are those who will endure to the end. Why? David told us here in Psalm chapter 37, "For the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord." Salvation is a complete deliverance. A salvation that can be lost is not salvation. It's not complete. True salvation is being kept forever by the power of God from ever being lost. And I find such hope in that. Salvation's of the Lord. It's not in a religious profession. Salvation is not a one-time decision. Paul and Barnabas preached to the souls of the disciples and exhorted them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. We're going to meet with reproaches. We're going to meet with afflictions and persecutions, and we'll go through much tribulation while pressing onward towards the kingdom of God. But the people of God will continue in the faith. How do I know? Because it's by the power of God that we're kept. When that good, that moral, that rich young ruler went away sad, you remember that? The disciples asked the Lord this question. They said, "Who then can be saved?" And you remember what the Lord said? He said, "With men, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Now, there's my hope of redemption. Peter said, "Lord, we've forsaken all and have followed you. What shall we have?" And the God-man, God in the flesh, said, "Verily I say unto you that you who have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit upon the throne of his glory, you shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that has forsaken houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life." True salvation is of the Lord. The Lord can't fail. A salvation that can fail is not true salvation. Now, when our first parents sinned, immediately God told them that he would send the seed of a woman who would redeem his people from their sin. That seed of the woman would have God as his father. Salvation is of the Lord. It was then that God drove man and his wife out of the garden, away from the tree of life. And God placed a flaming sword, which turned in every direction to keep man away from the tree of life. How then can man be saved? God had already told them that he would send one, and they would call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Friends, salvation's of the Lord. When God saw that all the hearts of men and women upon the earth were only evil continually, he pledged and he purposed to destroy the whole world. We're told, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and according to the word of the Lord, he built an ark to the saving of his house." 8 souls got into that ark. And as it began to float and as it began to rise above the waters, all that saw that ark on the outside before they drowned, and that was under God's wrath, I might add, they all knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. The night that God passed through Egypt to destroy the firstborn, above the doors of every Israelite's dwelling place, next to the blood of the Passover lamb, you could have written, "Salvation is of the Lord." There was no doubt in the minds of those who had that blood over the door that that was so. Salvation's of the Lord. None in Israel had the power to save themselves or their firstborn. But all God's chosen were saved because the salvation of the righteous, those whom God makes righteous, is of the Lord. I think about Isaac, as Isaac laid upon that makeshift altar that his father Abraham built, his father that loved him more than life itself. He drew back his knife to slay and kill that boy, and it was then that they both heard a commotion and looked to see a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. It was then that Isaac knew that it was as his father had promised, God will provide for himself a lamb for burnt offering. It was the same as saying, "Salvation's of the Lord." God will provide himself an offering, and God will provide himself as the offering. Friends, salvation's of the Lord. When the Lord Jesus died on Calvary's cross, That veil in the temple that separated the holy place from the holy of holies, where God accepted the blood sacrifice upon the mercy seat, while it was torn in two, ripped from the top to the bottom. Only God could do that. And when God tore into that middle wall of partition between his elect people and himself, the message of God echoed through heaven and earth and hell. And it said, salvation is of the Lord. When the stone was rolled away from the door of the Lord's tomb and the Lord wasn't there, the heavenly host must have been singing, salvation is of the Lord. And beloved, when that glorious day comes, when God calls forth those from their graves and the corruptible shall put on incorruption and the trump of God will resound and all of God's elect will hear and say, I know that song. Why, it's written upon my heart and its salvation is of the Lord. God purposed the redemption of his people, and he provided the perfect righteousness that he required to redeem them. And he will not compromise his justice in order to save his people. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. It was God who put him to grief. It was his Father who made his soul an offering for sin. The salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. It's everywhere you look in this book. Now, our works can't save us. Our works, our righteousnesses, are filthy rags. It's not by works of righteousness that we've done, but according to what? His mercy, he saved us. Salvation is of the Lord. Men and women, being ignorant of God's righteousness, go about to establish their own righteousness, and when they do, they've not submitted unto the righteousness of God. If you don't submit to the righteousness of God, you're going to perish, because salvation is of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can come to church, and you can come to the altar, and you can come to the priest, and you can come to religion, and you can still be lost. It happens all the time. But you and I must come to where Peter came when he walked on the water. He came to Christ. He said, Lord, bid me to come to you. But then he looked at the wind, and he looked at the waves, and he looked at the storm. And when he stopped looking to Christ, he began to sink. And it was then that he cried three words, Lord, save me. Took Peter by the hand and put him safely in the ship. Do you remember, child of God, when the Lord reached down his hand for you? That's where we got to come. We've got to come to the end of ourselves, knowing the salvation is only of and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are three insurmountable obstacles, three impossible mountains for us to climb. The first one is death. The soul that sins, it shall die. The wages of sin is death. But in Christ, death is swallowed up in victory. The second thing is a resurrection. We cannot bring ourselves or others back to life. Can't do it. But our Lord Jesus can. And the scriptures say, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so should we walk in newness of life. And then the third thing, the insurmountable obstacle, the third one is judgment. Every word we utter, every deed that we do, will stand accountable for according to our works. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may be recompensed for the things done in this body according to what he has done, the scripture says, whether it be good or bad. But friends, Paul went on to say, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ. Salvation's of the Lord. Is it not? Am I deceived? Salvation's of the Lord. I believe that with all my heart. Someone once said that sovereign grace is not mentioned in the Bible. Oh, yes, it is. Romans 5:21 says that as sin has reigned unto death, even so my grace reigned through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Friends, grace reigning through righteousness, and that righteousness being in Christ, that's sovereign grace. It's the only kind of grace there is. Sovereign grace. Salvation's not by the will of man. It's not of him that willeth. It's not of him that runneth, but of God. There we have that phrase again, but of God that showeth mercy. Romans 9:16. Salvation is by the will of God. How do I know? God said, I will have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. God said, I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Moses said, Lord, I beseech you, show me your glory. God said, okay, here it is. I'll be gracious. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Friends, God's greatest glory, I will be gracious. I will have mercy. That's God's greatest glory, but his greatest glory is my greatest need. And it's your greatest need. I need the mercy and the grace of God. You know, without it, I'm going to die. I'll be forever lost, forever condemned. Without it, I will forever perish. Lord, have mercy on me. Salvation's of the Lord. Of his own will beget he us with the word of truth. Salvation's of the Lord. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. What can you and I contribute to perfect holiness? Our hearts are deceitful. That word means fraudulent. It means crooked. It means polluted. Above all things. Jeremiah said, it's deceitful above all things. And that means deceitful above all things that are fraudulent, crooked, and polluted. Our hearts are desperately wicked. That word desperately means extremely, urgently, exceedingly wicked. Not just evil, but the Hebrew word means frail and feeble and incurably sick. That's what we are. So much so that only God can know the depths of our depravity and deliver us from it. You tell me that's not sovereign grace. You tell me that's not reigning grace. You tell me that's not amazing grace. The very God that knows us and our depravity actually sent his Son into the world to die and to redeem us. Salvation has to be of the Lord. It can come no other way. There's no other way that God would save us but by his grace. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and this time I want you to look at verse 30. I want you to see this in your own Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. Look at what Paul wrote here. Paul said this, verse 30. He said, but of him, that being of God, are you in Christ Jesus. God is why you are in Christ Jesus. There's no other reason. If you're in Christ, God is why. Salvation's of the Lord. Read on. Who of God is made unto us? Who's that speaking of? Well, it's speaking of Christ, the sinless substitute, the perfect Savior. And it's because of God that Christ is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. There's no other reason. Do you know what that means? Well, I bet you can guess. Salvation is of the Lord. Look at verse 31, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord because that's the very thing that gives God all the glory. Paul said, and you hath he quickened, speaking of Christ. Who's quickened us? That word means made alive. Who made us alive? God did. And he did so in the Lord Jesus Christ. Who did he quicken? Who did God make alive? You who were dead in trespasses and sin. I'm going to say it again. Salvation is of the Lord. Have you ever raised anyone from the dead? Well, if we could, we'd have to start with ourselves. We can't raise anyone from the dead because we ourselves are dead. But Christ in you and Christ in me is the hope of glory. Christ in us is the hope of salvation. The salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. Paul told Timothy the very thing that David is telling us. Paul told Timothy, he said, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Salvation is of the Lord. And salvation is in the Lord. Paul said this salvation is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death. Who abolished death? The Lord did. And hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Do you know what that means? You can say it with me if you like. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is in the Lord. Salvation is in a person. Salvation is not in a pool of water. Salvation is not in a profession of faith. Salvation is not in a persuasion of our will. Salvation's in a person. And that person is Christ. Salvation is of the Lord Jesus Christ, and salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. I can prove that. He that hath the Son hath life. Isn't that so simple, so plain, but so true? He that hath the Son, he that has Jesus Christ, has life eternal. Do you have Christ? If you do, then you have life. But remember, there's two sides. He that hath not the Son hath not life. Oh, may God be pleased to show us our great need. Oh, we're so needy. We have such a great need. And may he at the same time show us our great remedy. Lord, show us our sin, then show us our Savior. Show us your wrath, and then show us our salvation. Show us the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our salvation. Salvation's of the Lord. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes afar off, far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Now, friends, if we're made nigh by Christ, then he's our salvation. And if we're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, then he has to be our salvation. According as he hath chosen us, where? In him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. One day I'm going to stand before the throne of God in judgment, and I'll be as perfect and as holy as my Lord and Savior is. Chosen in him, made holy and without blame. Christ is our salvation. May God be pleased to make it so for his own glory, for Christ's sake, and for our good. Amen.